Well, turning your Bibles to Ruth chapter 4, we're going to finish this morning our study of this love story of redemption, the book of Ruth. We're seeing God's provision for Naomi and Ruth, and it's all found really as in this kinsman redeemer, which is Boaz. He was the one who was willing and able to redeem both Naomi and Ruth. The book gives us a picture of the kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. In love, he redeems us. And this morning as we finish, we see the birth of Boaz. And, you know, we might say, the birth of the son born to Boaz and Ruth. And we're going to see who he is. His name is Obed. And we're going to see how it all ties together. In fact, through this union of Boaz and Ruth comes the most famous king, really, in Israel's history, which was David. And then there's Solomon. And then finally, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. As we look at this passage, I want you to think about several key areas. First of all, just be reminded of God's promises and provisions, what he's done for us. Whatever he says, he does. And what does that mean in our lives? And then we're going to see the love story of redemption. That's in love Boaz redeems. We realize God in love redeems us. That's why John 3:16 says God so loved the world that he gave his son. And then we're going to think again about the Jewish customs and the things found in the book. There's so much there that we can apply in our lives and that we can make, see how it all ties together as a foreshadow of Jesus Christ. So there's a lot as we go through it this morning. I want to start by saying I thank God for the privilege of being a pastor. In fact, being your pastor means so much to me. There are a lot of ways pastors are identified. Sometimes they're called preachers because a lot of times preachers, what you do, they think you preach. And then sometimes they're called ministers because they serve. And then sometimes they're called pastors, which is because they shepherd. But in Ephesians 4:11, it says he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastor teachers. And that's really a spiritual gift and an office there, but it's a spiritual gift. And I have that role. I get to be the pastor teacher. And I think about it as a pastor, shepherd and help, and as a teacher, proclaim God's word. And so my role and goal is to get to help others know and apply and teach the word of God, those kind of things. In the role of a pastor, there are things that are happy and there are things that are sad. Think about this. Like, there's births and dedications and weddings and baptisms and all these kind of things that are happy. And then there's some things that are sad. There's sickness and death and breakup of homes and funerals and all of those kind of things. And often in a pastor's life, there's a contrast. There's been several times in my life that in the morning I did a funeral and in the afternoon I did a wedding. And in one sense, it's now in the funeral, but the person knew Christ as Savior. So in a sense, we're saying he's going to be with the Lord and all that. But it's a sad time because people are missing their loved one. And then in the afternoon, everybody's all happy because somebody's getting married. When you think about the book of Ruth, you have a contrast. See, Ruth begins with sadness and ends with happiness. See, it begins with sadness because there's sickness and three funerals at the start of the book. And then it ends with happiness because there's a wedding and the birth of a son. This morning, as we think about the book, we're going to do four things. But first of all, we're going to look at the verses 13 through 22 in that section, and we'll see that. Then we'll get a brief review of the customs, just to remind you of those three things really that are found in the book. And then we'll see some key areas of the book, just to think about it since we're at the end. And then we'll just finish with a general application from the book of Ruth. And I think this is the key, because we would say, why would God put this book in the Bible? Because we could say, well, it's nothing but a love story. It's much more than that. It's a picture of redemption. It's the kinsman redeemer, and it's a picture of Jesus Christ. Well, let's begin in chapter 4. We're going to see Ruth has a son. There's blessing to Ruth and Naomi and everything. And Boaz, let's think about what's happened. He's gone to the gate of the city. The gate of the city is where they did legal transactions. He's gone to the city, and he's publicly fulfilled his role as the kinsman redeemer. He got the man who was the closest redeemer. He's got the 10 elders, and he sat there and he basically said, you're the closest one. He told this other man, you're the closest one. Do you want to redeem everything? Do you want to take care of Naomi and all of these things and buy the land and everything? And the guy says, yeah. He says, but when you do that, you got to marry Ruth, who is a Moabitess. And the guy goes, I don't want to do that. And so Boaz says, I will do it. And he turns to the elders and the people and says, I want everybody to be witnesses today that I am purchasing the land for Naomi. I'm spending the money. I'm taking the land, bringing it all back so she'll have land, and she'll have land for the rest of her life. And I'm also going to marry Ruth and raise up a child so that her dead husband's name will not be wiped out. That's what the Levirate law of marriage was. So all that's going to happen. Well, everybody's all happy about it. And you know Ruth's happy about it, and you know Naomi's happy about it. So look, as we see the rest of the book, beginning at verse 13, let's see what happens, okay? It says, so Boaz took Ruth, this is verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Well, you look at that and you go, what a great story. That is so wonderful. It says that Boaz took Ruth, they got married, and then she became his wife, and then they were able to have a son. And one of the great blessings in life is a child. Boaz and Ruth have a son, and little did anyone, probably at that time, if you'd have said, what do you think about that family? He'd say, well, you know, Boaz is pretty famous, and he's pretty sharp, and Ruth, we even though she's not Jewish, she's an amazing woman. But who would have thought from that couple that the king of Israel, David, would come? And who would think a descendant of David would come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, Jesus Christ? From this couple is the grace of God. See, and oftentimes we take the grace of God for granted. Think about grace for just a minute. Let's think about the life of Ruth. Think about it. She begins as a poor widow, but now she's a rich bride. She was an outcast Moabite, but now she's favored, wife of Boaz. She was barren, but now she has a son. She was in poverty, but now she has riches. She was outcast, but now she has a family. She was barren, but now she's fruitful. She was a foreigner, and she's in the lineage of the king of Israel. What are the chances of that, you're thinking? That's what God does for us. In his grace, he takes us. We were fallen in rebellion and sin. We're destined for separation from ever, and he takes us and makes us alive, and he saves us, and we become his child, his children, and we're destined for eternal life in heaven with him, and it's God's grace. And by the way, it's God's grace because it's not what we do. It's what God does. It's his love and mercy and grace. All of it comes to us based on not what we do, but what he has already done. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, each one our own way, but God in his grace and mercy loves us. I love Dennis the Menace, you know. Dennis and Joey are leaving Ms. Wilson's house. And they got cookies like this. They're going out. And Dennis turns to Joey and said, Ms. Wilson gives us cookies not because we're nice, but because she's nice. And that's what God does for us. He didn't save us because we're good. He saved us because he's good. And he loves us. He blesses us because this is what he chooses to do. It's called grace. Realize that what's happened in Ruth's life is beyond what she could ever imagined. She hoped that when she came back with Naomi, that maybe they could eke out a living somehow. Now, she already knew she wasn't going to get married. I mean, she's a Moabite. She's coming back to Israel. She's not going to get married. And Naomi says, look, there's nothing for you there. The only two sons I had are dead, and I'm not having any more kids, so there's no hope for you. And her biggest hope was maybe we can find some food when we come back. And she got protection and food and a husband and a family. And God does for us, he gives to us beyond what we could imagine. Beyond what we could imagine. Think about this church. Look at this. Do you imagine this? You look at that building they're building out there. Can you imagine that? That's beyond what we could imagine. There's no telling what God's going to do with this body of believers in this community for the years to come. Beyond what we could imagine. It's all grace. Well, look what happened. So it says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. So everybody's all happy. And look what it says. Then the women said to Naomi. Now, this is the women, because this is Naomi's daughter-in-law, and she's getting married, you know, got the son, and says, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. If you read that at first, you may think they're talking about Boaz. They're not talking about Boaz. Notice, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today. See, the redeemer has been Boaz, but they're saying the redeemer is going to be the son. So he's going to be the one to take care of them forever on. Notice, she goes on to say, or they go on to say, may he also be a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age for your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than seven sons has given birth to him. They're talking about this child. They're calling this child a redeemer. Even though Boaz has been the kinsman redeemer, they're now looking at this child and saying, Naomi, you got it made. Because as long as you live, not only do you have Boaz, but you got this boy. And he's going to grow up, and no matter how long you live, they're going to always be there to take care of you. That's your Redeemer. And that's what the kinsman redeemer is. This is the one. And up to this point, Boaz has been the redeemer. But now these women are calling this little boy, the baby, a redeemer. He is the one who will provide for the future. Look what it says. Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. Well, you know, most people don't know Obed, but they know David, and they know Jesus was famous. Notice verse 15. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you is better than you than seven sons has given birth to him. Two things. He's a restorer of life and a sustainer. That's what he did. He restored the life of Naomi and Ruth. And we could say Boaz started the whole process, but this offspring is the one that takes the place. And he's a sustainer of life, because this child is going to be the one that takes care of Naomi and Ruth in the long run. Because you know, when you get older, who's going to take care of you? When you really get older, who's going to take care of you? Your family, your children. They're supposed to. Family's supposed to, in that culture especially, who took care of? Listen, do you understand that here's this culture, and you got a mama and a daddy, and you got a son. And the son, you matchmake them, and they get married. Where do they go? They set up their apartment somewhere? No, they didn't set up an apartment somewhere. They came back and built onto the daddy's house a room. In my father's house are many rooms. And they built on, and they came back, and they lived there. And then, as they grew their kids up, and as the mom and daddy got older, who took care of the mama and daddy? The family did. That's biblical. And so we see that the family, they're saying basically, we're all here to take care of each other. Let me show you something. I just want you to think about the roles of parents and children just for a second. This is sort of not exactly in this book, but I just want you to think about it, because in just a couple of weeks, we're going to have some parents come up and going to talk about that they want to, dedicate their children. What is the role of parents? What is the role of the children? Let's think about the role of parents for just a second. Basically twofold. Ephesians 6 and 1 Timothy say that it'll provide for the children and the needs of the family. The father, but ultimately in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8, is to provide for the needs of his family and take care of his children. And the second thing parents do are to raise them in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Now there's other things, but that's the two big ideas, that the parents are to take care of their kids and to raise them in the training admonition of the Lord. That who helps them understand character and truth and righteousness. And, I read this the other day, that the character of our children tomorrow depends on what we put in their minds today. And it's true. What's the role of the children? Now listen carefully, younger people. Okay? First of all, honor the parents. You shall honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may go well with you. Honor your mom and father for as long as they live and you live. The honor of the position. You may say, you don't know what my daddy's like, or you don't know what my mother's like. He is saying you honor the position of mother and daddy that God gave you. Second, obey them. You obey them as long as you're under their authority. And when you're not under the authority, you don't have to obey anymore. You can get advice, but you don't have to obey, but you obey as long as you're under the authority. And third, there may come a time, and we find it in 1 Timothy, there may come a time that you provide for your parents. And we all know that a lot of times people are calling this the sandwich generation, because you've got families who are still raising their children and taking care of their mom and the daddy at the same time. So, Sarah and Catherine, please don't, throw us out in the street, whatever happens, okay? May he be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you is better to you than seven sons has given birth to him. So what happened? I mean, this is great. So look what happened. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. Now, the idea of becoming a nurse means the one who's going to help oversee. It's the same word that we find later on in the book of Esther, where Mordecai takes care of Esther. It uses the same word, the idea of nurse, but it doesn't mean nursing somebody, but it means to take care of them and watch over them. Naomi's going to watch over this child. Because, see, whose land was it that ultimately the child is going to get. Naomi's. And her ex, her husband who passed away, Elimelech. So Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and became his nurse. And notice, the neighbor women gave him a name. That's a nickname, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. So they named him Obed. And then right here, the writer says, he is the father of Jesse, and Jesse is the father of David. That's King David. So basically, the neighbor women gave him this name, and his name's Obed. And by the way, Obed means servant. Obadiah, servant of Jehovah. Obed means servant, so they call him servant because he's going to serve Naomi and Ruth. That's his role. So he sees himself. You look at that, he's the grandfather of King David. And this Moabite woman, Ruth, is in the lineage of the Jewish king of Israel. It's amazing. She's David's great-grandmother. What a change. It begins with sickness and death, the funeral, the widowhood, the poverty. This is how the book begins. How does it end? With wedding and birth and riches and blessing and provision. You ever thought about it? When we come to Jesus Christ, we're dead in trespasses and sins. We have nothing. And we trust in Jesus Christ. We're born again. We become children of God. We have an inheritance, a new home, new body. What has he got for us? It's beyond comprehension. What a change. The book closes with a genealogy. And notice what it says. Of course, the end of verse 17 says, he's the father of Jesse, the father of David. And the people reading this book would say, so King David's father was Jesse, and Jesse's father was Obed, and that father was Boaz, and his mama was Ruth? They knew that. They saw it. That's what the part of the purpose of the book was, to show the lineage. So look at verse 18. 18, 19, 20, 21 says, now, these are the generations of Perez, and we'll talk about who Perez is in just a second. To Perez was born Hezron, and Hezron Ram, and Ram Amminadab. Amminadab was born Nahshon, and Nahshon Salmon, and Salmon was born Boaz. There he is. Boaz's father was Salmon, and Salmon was born Boaz, and then Boaz had Obed, and Obed had Jesse, and Jesse had David. And there we see the lineage. Now see, I want you to understand something, that the tribe of Judah, it's very important to know this, that of all the tribes, God said the tribe of Levi will be the priest. And all the descendants of Levi, Moses and Aaron, they were the priest. And then he said that the tribe of Judah, the king of Israel, will come from Judah. And in Genesis 49, verse 10, it says, the scepter will not depart from Judah, which means the king is coming through the tribe of Judah. Well, if you remember, when God chose the nation of Israel, there was Abraham. And Abraham had a son named Isaac, and Isaac had a son named Jacob, and Jacob had a son named Judah, and Judah had a son named Perez. And Perez had a son named Hezron, and Hezron to Ram, and Ram to Amminadab, Amminadab to Nahshon, Nahshon on down to Salmon, Salmon down to Boaz. Boaz was the tribe of Judah. Obed was the tribe of Judah. Jesse was the tribe of Judah. David was the tribe of Judah. That's why David could be the king. He was from the right tribe. That's why the book of Matthew, which is presents Jesus as the king, begins. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. If you're going to be king of the Jews, you got to be a descendant of Abraham, the first Jew. And if you're going to be a king of the Jews, you got to be a descendant of David, the first king, or the main king. Not the first king. Saul was the first king. David was the second king. So here's what we see. God keeps his promises. He says he does exactly what he says. He promised a redeemer. I don't know if the next slide says it. Yeah, he promised to us a redeemer, a savior, and is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So when you say the book of Ruth, you could say, oh, the book of Ruth is a great story. It's a love story. It's about this Moabite girl. And I mean, this woman goes off and they end up coming back. And this man comes along and he's such a great man because he's willing to take care of them. But the picture of the book is the redeemer. And it's a foreshadow of Jesus Christ. And so let me remind you of those Jewish customs that we saw in the book. The first was what they called the law of gleaning. And we talked about this, that if you were poor, You didn't have land. You didn't have a way to make money. You could go in somebody else's fields, somebody else's crops, and you could take food. You could take what they dropped, and they were never supposed to take care of the corners. They were supposed to leave them so the poor people and the widows and the orphans could come and eat. God provided for people even when they were poor. Second is called the Levirate Law of Marriage, and we talked about this. If a man's married and his wife, and he dies, and her and his next brother, next of kin, who's not married, it was his responsibility to marry her and to bring up their children. To bring them children. That was what it was. That's the Levirate Law of Marriage. And that's why Boaz not only redeemed Naomi, but he married Ruth to bring up a child. And that's what this book is all about. And then the Kinsman Redeemer. And that's probably the greatest point of the book, that there was one who would come redeem and save them. And it's a foreshadow of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who came to save us. There's so much in this book. There's the four things I want you to think about God from the book. It's his redemption, his love, his grace, and his sovereignty. I want you to think about redemption. God is the one who redeems us. The song that Morgan sang talked about redemption. We sang a song earlier called Redeem. I love to proclaim it. Redemption means to purchase by paying a price. Naomi and Ruth had no way to make it. He came in and bought the land for them and purchased them. We had no way to make it. Jesus Christ came and purchased us. He is the Redeemer. Second, love. Our redemption flows from love. It is not something that God, in a sense, had to do, but God so loved us that he did it. Third, it's grace. It's not what we do. It's not because we're good people. It's because God, through his grace, saved us. We called it Boaz working and grace resting. And then last but not least is the sovereignty of God. There is no chance or fate in this book. Ruth didn't just happen to go in Boaz's field. God works all things according to the counsel of his will. So there's some great things there. What have we seen in this book? Boaz redeems both Naomi and Ruth. Ruth's child was the grandfather of King David. And we saw the customs and the principles from the book. Now I've got two big applications. Here's the first one. Know the story and the purpose of Ruth. See, the whole book of Ruth is about redemption. And it's the love story of redemption. And Boaz redeems, and he loves Ruth and Naomi and redeems them. And God loved us and redeems us. 1 John 4:9-10, and this is love, not that we love God, but God loved us and sent his son to be the payment for our sins, the Redeemer. The love and grace of God are brought. You remember the Kinsman Redeemer? Let me remind you. Boaz, as the Kinsman Redeemer, did four things. He came to redeem. He fulfilled the law. He purchased Naomi and Ruth, and Ruth became his bride. Notice this. Next slide. Jesus is our Kinsman Redeemer. He came to redeem. He fulfilled the law. He purchased us, and we are his bride. Boaz is a picture of Jesus Christ. Think about this. Ruth, a poor, lost widow, becomes rich, the bride of Boaz, protection and security. Think about us. We're lost and poor and helpless, and we become saved, redeemed. We're heirs of God. We have his protection and security. That's what the book's about. So think about it. What is our response to this book? Well, trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Redeemer. And I trust and hope that almost everyone in this room, that as you've gathered week after week, that most of you have already put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and his Redeemer. But Jesus is our Goel. He is a Redeemer. But there may be one or two or five or whoever in this room who have never understood the story of the Scripture, how God so loved the world that he sent his son Jesus to be the Redeemer, to come and purchase us, to pay for our sin, to die and rise again. And whoever will trust in him, believe in him, will never perish, but have everlasting life. It's not our goodness. It's not our works. We're not the Redeemer. Jesus is the Redeemer. He's done it all. And by faith in him, you can have eternal life. If you've never trusted Christ right where you're sitting, you can trust him right now as your Savior. And you can have eternal life. And you can know that Jesus Christ is your Redeemer. May we see from our study of Ruth that God so loved us, that in his grace, he sent the Kinsman Redeemer for us, Jesus Christ, and all who trust in him have eternal life. Let's pray.